We continue now with the life and revelation of Saint Gertrude, a golden cup offered to her to contain her tears. As the Passion was read, which says that Joseph took the body of Jesus, she said to our Lord, "That blessed Joseph was given thy most holy body, but what share wilt thou give of thy body to my unworthiness?" Then our Lord gave her his heart under the form of a golden thurible, from which as many perfumes ascended to the Father as there had been persons for whom the Lord died. When the prayers were said after the Passion for the different orders in the church, according to the usual custom, as the priest knelt saying, "Oremus," she saw all the prayers which had been made throughout the church ascending together, like fragrant incense from the thurible of the divine heart, so that each prayer by this union became marvelously sweet and beautiful. Therefore we should pray for the church on this day with great devotion in union with the Passion of our Lord, which renders our prayers more efficacious before God. On another occasion, on the same day, the saint ardently desired to make some return to her beloved for all his sufferings, and said to him, "O my only hope and salvation of my soul, teach me how to make some return to thee for thy most bitter passion." Our Lord replied, "He who follows the will of another and not his own frees me from the captivity which I endured when bound with chains on the morning of my passion. He who considers himself guilty satisfies for my condemnation at the hour of prime by false witnesses. He who renounces the pleasures of sense consoles me for the blows which I have received at the hour of terse. He who commits to pastors who try him consoles me for the crowning with thorns. He who humbles himself first in a dispute carries my cross. He who performs works of charity consoles me at the hour of sext, when my limbs were cruelly fastened to the cross. He who spares himself neither pain nor labor to withdraw his neighbor from sin consoles me for my death, which I endured at the hour of non, for the salvation of the human race. He who replies gently when reproached takes me down from the cross. Lastly, he who prefers his neighbor to himself lays me in the sepulchre." On another Good Friday, as Gertrude besought our Lord to prepare her for a worthy communion, she received this reply, "I am hastening to you with such ardor that I can scarcely contain it, for I have gathered into my bosom all the good which my church has done or said or thought today in memory of my passion, to pour it forth into your soul at communion for your eternal salvation." The saint replied, "I give thee thanks, O my Lord, but I desire greatly that this favor may be granted to me in such a manner that I may impart it to others when I wish to do so." He replied, "And what will you give me, my beloved, for such a favor?" Gertrude replied, "Alas, Lord, I have nothing worthy of thee, but nevertheless I have this desire, that if I had all that thou hast, I would give it to thee, so that thou mightst dispose of it as thou wouldst." To this our Lord replied lovingly, "If you do indeed desire to act thus towards me, you cannot doubt that I desire to act thus towards you, and even more so, since my goodness and love so far exceeds yours." "O God," she exclaimed, "how shall I come to thee when thou comest to me with such abundant goodness?" He replied, "I require nothing from you but to come to me empty, that I may fill you. For it is from me that you receive all which makes you agreeable in my sight." She understood that this emptiness was humility, which made her consider herself destitute of merit, and made her believe that without the grace of God she could do nothing, and that what she did do was utterly worthless. Chapter 27, for Easter Sunday. How the souls are freed from their pains. Of a good will, how to praise God in the Alleluia. As St. Gertrude prayed fervently before Matins on the blessed night of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus appeared to her, full of majesty and glory. Then she cast herself at his feet to adore him devoutly and humbly, saying, O glorious spouse, joy of the angels, thou who hast shown me the favor of choosing me to be thy spouse, who am the least of thy creatures, I ardently desire thy glory, and my only friends are those who love thee. Therefore, I beseech thee to pardon the souls of thy special friends by the virtue of thy most glorious resurrection. And to obtain this grace from thy goodness, I offer thee, in union with thy passion, all the sufferings which my continual infirmities have caused me. Then our Lord, having favored her with many caresses, showed her a great multitude of souls who were freed from their pains, saying, Behold, I have given them to you as a recompense for your rare affection. And through all eternity, they will acknowledge that they have been delivered through your prayers, and you will be honored and glorified for it. She replied, How many are they? He answered, This knowledge belongs to God alone. As she feared that these souls, though freed from their pains, were not yet admitted to glory, she offered to endure whatever God might please, either in body or soul, to obtain their entrance into that beatitude. And our Lord, won by her fervor, granted her request immediately. Sometime after, as the saint suffered most acute pain in her side, she made an inclination before the crucifix, and our Lord freed her from the pain and granted the merit of it to these souls, recommending them to make her a return by their prayers. After this, the saint, impelled by the fervor of her love, presented herself before her spouse and said to him, O my only love, as I have nothing which can render me worthy to appear before the King of Kings, and as I cannot correspond in any degree to thy love, all I can do is to give thee all the life and strength of my body and soul as long as I live, to honor thy glorious resurrection. Our Lord replied, I regard this offering of your love for me as a royal scepter, which I will bear gloriously before the Most Holy Trinity and in the sight of all the saints. To this, Gertrude answered, Although thy grace has prompted me to make this offering, nevertheless I fear, on account of my own instability, lest I should forget what I have promised thee. But our Lord replied, And what will it matter if you do? For I will not allow what you have once given me to escape from my hand, but I will always preserve it as a proof of your love for me. And whenever you renew your intention, this scepter will be adorned with flowers and precious stones. When the Alleluia was chanted, the saint animated all the powers of her body and soul to recite the Matins of the Resurrection with devotion, saying to our Lord, Teach me, I beseech thee, O Master, full of sweetness, in what manner I can best praise thee by the Alleluia, which is so often repeated on this feast. Our Lord replied, You can praise me by the Alleluia by uniting it to the praises which the saints and angels constantly offer me in heaven. You will observe that all the vowels, except the O, which signifies grief, are found in this word, and that instead of this O, the A is repeated twice. At the first A, you will praise me with the saints for the glorious immortality by which the sufferings of my humanity and the bitterness of my passion were rewarded. At the E, praise me for the sweet and ineffable joys which gladden my eyes in gazing upon the Most Holy Trinity. At the U, unite yourself with the delight which I find in hearing the concerts of praises in honor of the Blessed Trinity, which are sung by the saints and angels. At the I, enjoy the sweet perfumes and odors which I find in the presence of the Most Holy Trinity. At the second A, which is put in place of the O, rejoice that my humanity, which was formerly passible and mortal, is now filled with the divine immortality. After this, as she continued to recite matins, she was taught at each psalm, each response, and each lesson, that sense which best corresponded with the solemnity of so great a day, and which best expressed the inconceivable pleasures which a soul enjoys when it is united to God. Chapter 28, for Easter Monday. That God takes an exact account of our merits, and how they are enriched by the merits of Christ. On Easter Monday, as St. Gertrude besought our Lord before communicating that he would be pleased to supply, by the merits of this august sacrament, for her past negligences in religious observance, he presented her to his Father, clothed in a religious habit, which appeared to be made of as many pieces as she had been years in the convent, the first piece representing the first year, the second the next year, and so on. The habit had no folds in it. The days and hours were noted in each year, with the thoughts, words, and actions, good or bad, even to the most trifling particulars. And the end for which she had performed each action was also most carefully marked, whether for her own salvation, for the glory of God, or for the good of others. Her abstinences and her refreshments, what she had done through obedience or of her own free will, the little stratagems she had used that she might be told to do what she wished, or her address in extorting such obediences, all these were to be seen therein. These last actions appeared to be fastened to her habit by a little wet mud, and as if ready to fall from it. But when the Son of God had offered his holy and perfect life for her, she saw the habit covered with plates of transparent gold, pure and clear as crystal. Her whole life, and all that had ever been defective in her conduct, even to the very least particular, now appeared in the light of truth, and was known to God and to all his saints. For not even the smallest stain or imperfection could be concealed. From this, Gertrude understood that God forms, as it were, a representation of each person's life, and that while he remembers no more the sins which have been effaced by penance, according to the word of the prophet, "I will not remember all his iniquities," there still remain some marks of our faults, that we may be reminded to praise his goodness for having pardoned them, and for having poured forth his favors upon us as if we had never offended him. So also, the good works which we have done shine like beautiful flowers, that we may give glory to him by whose help and assistance we have accomplished them, and that they may be a continual source of joy to us, that we may adore and love God, who being one in three persons, lives, reigns, and works in us all the goods we do. Chapter 29, for Easter Tuesday, of the renewal of spiritual espousals. At communion on Easter Tuesday, St. Gertrude asked our Lord to renew the espousals which he had formed with her in spirit, by faith, by religious profession, and by the entirety of her virginity. Our Lord replied caressingly that he would not fail to do what she asked, and inclining towards her, he embraced her soul, renewing therein all her devotion. And as he thus embraced her, he gave her a brilliant necklace, adorned with precious stones, and thus reformed all her past negligences in her spiritual exercises. Chapter 30, for Easter Wednesday, that we can do nothing good without the divine assistance. On Easter Wednesday, she besought our Lord that she might become fruitful in good actions by virtue of his adorable body. He replied, "I will certainly make you fruitful in myself, and I will use you to draw many to me." She replied, "How canst thou draw others to thee through me, since I am such an unworthy creature, and have almost lost the talent I once had of instructing and conversing with others?" Our Lord answered, "If you now had that facility of speaking, Perhaps you would think that it was by this you won souls. Therefore, I have deprived you of it in part, that you may acknowledge that the grace which you possess of touching the hearts of others comes from my special grace, and not from the power and attractiveness of your words. Our Lord then appeared to draw her towards him inwardly, saying, Even as I draw my breath, so will I draw to myself all who submit lovingly and devotedly to you for my sake, and I will make them advance daily in perfection. Chapter 31, for Thursday in Easter week, of offering our actions to God. On Thursday in Easter week, as the Gospel was read, which relates how Magdalene stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and saw two angels, St. Gertrude said to our Lord, Into what sepulcher shall I look to find the consolation of my spirit? Our Lord then showed her the sacred wound of his side, where instead of two angels, she heard two things. First, You shall never be separated from my company. And secondly, All your actions are perfectly agreeable to me. She was much surprised at this, and began to consider how it could be, since she thought her actions could not be pleasing to anyone, and saw in them herself such great imperfections, while the divine light enabled her to discover a thousand faults where others could not see any. But our Lord said to her, The good and praiseworthy custom which you have of recommending your actions to me so frequently, and of placing them in my hands, makes me correct those which are defective, that they may please me perfectly and all my celestial court. Chapter 32, for Low Sunday, how we should dispose ourselves to receive the Holy Ghost. On the Sunday after Easter, as the Gospel was read, which says that our Lord breathed on his disciples and gave them the Holy Ghost, St. Gertrude besought him very earnestly that he would give her this grace also. If you desire to receive the Holy Ghost, he replied, you must touch my side and my hands like my disciples. By this she understood that he who desires to receive the Holy Spirit must first touch the side of our Lord, that is, he must acknowledge how much the divine heart has loved us in having predestinated us from eternity to be his children and heirs of his kingdom, and in pouring forth such benefits upon us daily, notwithstanding our ingratitude. That he must also touch the hands of our Lord, that is, reflect with gratitude on all his labors for us during the 33 years of his mortal life, and on his passion and death, offering his heart to God in union with the love with which he said, As the Father hath sent me, I also send you, to fulfill his good pleasure in all things. For although men should desire and wish nothing but the good pleasure of God, they should seek even more ardently to do and to suffer what he wills. For he who acts thus cannot fail to receive the Holy Spirit, even as the disciples on whom the Son of God breathed. Our Lord then breathed on St. Gertrude, and said to her, Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. How can this be, O Lord, inquired the saint, since the power of binding and loosing has only been conferred on thy priests? He replied, Those whom you consider guilty are so before me, and those whom you consider innocent I also acquit, for I speak by your mouth. O God, full of goodness, replied the saint, since you have so often assured me of this gift, what advantage do I gain from receiving it again? Our Lord replied, When a deacon is made a priest, he does not cease to be a deacon, but rather he acquires a higher sacerdotal dignity. And so when I give the same gift to your soul several times, I establish it more firmly therein, and thereby increase your beatitude. Chapter 33, for the Feast of St. Mark, Evangelist, of the litanies and invocation of saints. A footnote: the feast of St. Mark is April 25th. The origin of the custom of reciting the litany of the saints, or great litany, on this day is ascribed to St. Gregory the Great, who obtained thereby the extinction of a pestilence which devastated Rome in the year 590. The 25th of April was fixed for a yearly procession and chanting of litanies before it was appointed for the feast of St. Mark. On the feast of St. Mark, while the litanies were recited at the procession, our Lord appeared to St. Gertrude seated on a throne of majesty, adorned with precious stones, which formed as many brilliant mirrors as there were saints in heaven. Each saint rose joyfully as he was named in the litany to offer his prayers to God for those who had invoked him, and the names of those who prayed to them appeared written on their hands. The names of those who had invoked them with fervor and purity were written in letters of gold. The names of those who prayed only through custom were in black, while the names of those who were careless and indifferent could scarcely be discerned at all. St. Gertrude understood from this that when the saints whom we have invoked pray for us, their prayers shine before God as a monument of the mercy which he has promised us, which obliges him to have pity on us. And when we invoke the saints with a pure and fervent devotion, they receive the brilliancy of the precious stones encased in our Lord's robe, which are inscribed with the names of those who revere them and invoke their aid. Chapter 34. For the Feast of St. John Before the Latin Gate. Of the sweet memory of St. John, how imperfections of which we forget to accuse ourselves in confession are pardoned by God. The Feast of St. John is May 6th. The feast is kept in commemoration of the miraculous deliverance of St. John from a cauldron of boiling oil. On the feast of St. John, ante portum latinum, he appeared to Gertrude, and after having caressed and consoled her in a wonderful manner, he said to her, "Do not be troubled, O elect spouse of my Lord, at the failure of your bodily strength, for what you suffer in this world is but little and will last only for a moment in comparison with the eternal delights which we now enjoy in heaven, and which you will soon possess with us when you enter therein. For it is the nuptial couch of your spouse, whom you love so ardently, whom you desire with such fervor, and whom you will at last possess as you desire." Then he added, "Remember that I, who was the beloved disciple of the Lord, was still more infirm in body than you are, and nevertheless I am now, as you see, the delight and devotion of the faithful. So you also, after your death, will live in the hearts of many, and will draw many souls to God." Then she said complainingly to St. John that she feared she had placed an obstacle to this, because she had forgotten to confess some little faults. And when she remembered them, she could not have recourse to her confessor, and that she could not always remember them when she went to confession, on account of her extreme debility. "Do not be troubled at this, my child," replied the saint lovingly, "for when you have prepared for a good and entire confession of your sins, and find that you cannot then have recourse to a confessor, if you forgot anything in consequence of the delay, and omit to accuse yourself of it merely from a defect of memory, what you have forgotten will not fail to be effaced, and the grief you have for the omission will adorn your soul as a precious jewel, which will render it pleasing to the heavenly court." While Mass was being said, the saint was occupied in reflecting on some writings which she had received from God by a special favor, and as she heard the words Verbum Dei Deum Natum at the sequence, she recollected herself that she might attend more devoutly to what was chanted in honor of St. John. But the saint appeared at her side and told her not to turn her mind from her first thoughts, obtaining for her from God in a marvelous manner the favor of being able to think of these writings and still to understand what was chanted in choir. At the words Audit in Gyro Sedis, She said to St. John, "Oh, what joy must have filled thy soul when thou wert elevated so high." He replied, "You speak truly, but know that I have a yet greater joy in the praises which you offer to God for me." He then remained seated near her until the words "Iste Custos Virginis," when he took her up to the throne of God's glory, where amid the most ineffable brightness, he was admired and praised by the whole celestial court, feeling the ineffable delights of the words "Caeli qui palatium." Chapter 35. For the Ascension, the manner of saluting our Lord's five wounds. Before the feast of the Ascension of our Lord, St. Gertrude repeated this salutation 5,466 times. "Glory be to thee, most sweet, most gentle, most benign, most noble, most excellent, effulgent and ever peaceful Trinity, for the roseate wounds of my only love." As she repeated this salutation, our Lord Jesus appeared to her, more beautiful than the angels, bearing golden flowers in each wound, and saluted her thus with a serene countenance and tenderest charity. "Behold in what glory I now appear to you. I will appear in the same manner to you at your death, and will cover all the stains of your sins, and of those also who salute my wounds with the same devotion." Chapter 36. For the Sunday before Ascension Thursday, of the merit of condescension and compassion for the infirm, and how we should desire contempt. On the Sunday before Ascension Day, the saint rose very joyfully to recite matins, hoping that our Lord would come to lodge in her heart for the 4 days preceding the Ascension, as she ardently besought him to do. But after she had recited the office as far as the fifth lesson, she saw a religious who was ill and who had no one to say matins with her. The saint, moved by the charity which always animated her, said to our Lord, "Thou knowest, O Lord, that I have almost exhausted the little strength I have in reciting my office so far. Nevertheless, as I ardently desire thee to abide with me during these holy days, and as I have not a fitting abode prepared for thee, I am willing, for thy love and in satisfaction for my faults, to commence matins again." As she began the office once more, our Lord verified the words he had said, "I was sick, and you visited me," and, "As you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me," by appearing to her and overwhelming her with caresses which could neither be explained nor understood. It appeared to the saint that our Lord was seated at a table in the most sublime glory, and that he was distributing ineffable gifts, graces, and joys to the souls in heaven, on earth, and in purgatory, not only for each word, but even for each letter which she had repeated. And she also received an intelligence of the psalms, responses, and lessons which filled her with inexpressible delight. When the words "Ad te Domine" and "Salvum fac populum tuum Domine" were chanted, she besought our Lord to pour forth an abundant grace and benediction on the whole church. "What do you desire that I should do, my beloved?" He replied, "For I give myself up to you with the same love and resignation as I abandoned myself to my Father on the cross. For even as I would not descend from the cross until he willed it, so now I desire to do nothing but what you will. Distribute then, in virtue of my divinity, all that you desire, and as abundantly as you desire." After matins, the saint retired again to rest, and our Lord said to her, "She who wearies herself in exercises of charity has a right to repose peacefully on the couch of charity." And as he said this, he soothed her soul so tenderly that it appeared to her that if she did indeed repose on the bosom of this heavenly bridegroom. Then she beheld a tree of charity, very high and very fair, covered with fruit and flowers, and with leaves shining like stars, which sprang forth from the heart of Jesus, extending and lowering its branches so as to surround and cover the nuptial couch on which the soul of Gertrude reposed. And she saw a spring of pure water gush forth from its roots, which shot upwards, and then returned again to its source, and this refreshed her soul marvelously. By this she understood the divinity of Jesus Christ, sweetly reposing in his humanity, which imparts ineffable joys to the elect. During Mass, at which she was to communicate, St. Gertrude exposed the defects of her soul to God as a friend might do to one from whom he expected every good, and she besought him earnestly to obtain pardon of all her sins and negligences on the feast of his ascension from his Father. Then the Lord replied with the greatest condescension, "You are that amiable Esther who pleases my eyes by your incredible beauty. Ask then what you will, and I will give it to you." As she began to pray for all who were confided to her care, and for all her benefactors, our Lord approached her and embraced her lovingly. And by this embrace, she understood that her heart had contracted some stain from having received a benefit in too human a manner on the preceding day. "Ah, Lord," she exclaimed, "why dost thou suffer me to be revered as a saint when thou wert esteemed during thy life as the very least of men, and since it is for thy glory that thy elect should be despised in this world?" He replied, "I have said by my prophet, 'Shout with joy to God, all the earth, and give glory to his praise.' Therefore, I permit some persons to think well of you and to love you, for their sanctification and for my glory." "But what will become of me," she replied, "if thou dost sanctify them by my faults?" Our Lord answered, "I please myself by embellishing the gold of my grace, which I have put in you, by making it appear sometimes black and sometimes shining." By the word black, she understood that when one remembers having received a benefit in too human a manner, and repents humbly for their fault, they pleased God so much that the dark color enhances the beauty of the shining gold. By the bright gold, she understood that when we receive gifts from God and men with thanksgiving, we render our souls still more capable of receiving and preserving the gifts of God. Chapter 37, For the Rogation Days. How we should pray for the just, for sinners, and for the souls in purgatory. On the Monday before the Ascension, St. Gertrude proposed to herself to do something to atone to God for the sins of the whole world. She then went to visit the sick person before mentioned, and having performed for her many services of charity which exceeded her strength, she offered them to God as an eternal thanksgiving and in satisfaction for all that his creatures had done contrary to his will. When she had accomplished this, it appeared to her that a vast multitude of men and women were attached to her by a golden chain, which indicated charity, and that she led them to our Lord. He received them from her as a king would receive a prince who brought his enemies to his feet to swear obedience and inviolable fidelity to him. On Tuesday, as she prayed before Mass for the perfection and sanctification of the just, in whatever manner might be most pleasing to her spouse, our Lord extended his hand and blessed them with the victorious sign of the cross. And this saving benediction descended into their hearts like dew, which made them flourish, strengthened them, and imparted new beauty to them. On Wednesday, at the elevation of the host, she besought our Lord for the souls of the faithful in purgatory, that he would free them from their pains by virtue of his admirable ascension. And she beheld our Lord descending into purgatory with a golden rod in his hand, which had as many hooks as there had been prayers for their souls. By these he appeared to draw them into a place of repose. She understood by this that whenever anyone prays generally from a motive of charity for the souls in purgatory, the greater part of those who during their lives have exercised themselves in works of charity are released. Then the saint repeated these words 225 times to salute our Lord's sacred limbs. Ave Jesu, sponsi florid in jubilo, qui ascendisi saluto et culado te. And it appeared to her that each salutation was presented to our Lord as an instrument of music which sounded most melodiously and in a manner most pleasing to him, so that he testified how acceptable it was to him. These salutations, which she had offered with the purest intention, emitted the most sublime harmony, while those she had recited less attentively sounded mournfully and were not so harmonious. Chapter 38, For Ascension Day, of the renunciation of our own will and certain exercises of piety for this festival. On the feast of the Ascension, as the saint prepared herself in the morning to offer the tenderest love and devotion to our Lord at the hour of his ascension, he said to her, "Give me now all the testimonies of joy which you are prepared to give me at the hour of my ascension, for all the joy which I then experience will be renewed in me as I am about to enter into you by the august and holy sacrament of the altar." "Ah, my only love," exclaimed the saint, "teach me how to perform our usual procession well, that I may fittingly honor the admirable procession which thou didst make when conducting thy disciples to Bethania." Our Lord replied, "As Bethania signifies the house of obedience, you cannot make a better procession, or one more pleasing to me, than to offer me the entirety of your will, when you conduct me within you, grieving sincerely for having followed your own will on so many occasions in preference to mine, and determining firmly for the future to perform my will perfectly in all things." As she received communion, our Lord said to her, "Behold, I come to you, my spouse, not to bid you farewell, but to take you with me and present you to God, my Father." She understood by this that when our Lord enters into a soul by the holy sacrament of his body and blood, he attracts the desires and goodwill of this soul to himself, as a seal makes an impression upon wax, and that he presents the representation of them thus formed to his Father to obtain from him the graces which this soul needs. The saint then offered him her prayers and those of some other persons to serve as an ornament to his sacred wounds for the day of his glorious ascension. Then the Lord Jesus appeared before his Father, adorned with these prayers as with so many precious stones, and his Father appeared to draw all these offerings of the elect to himself by his almighty power, and then to cause them to fall in rays of glory on the throne prepared from all eternity for those who had offered these prayers. At the hour of noon, as Gertrude was entirely absorbed in God, the Lord Jesus appeared to her again, more beautiful than the children of men, and clothed in a green tunic and a crimson mantle. The green tunic indicated the glorious and vivifying works of his adorable humanity. The crimson mantle, the intense love which had compelled him to endure such fearful sufferings, that his patience under these alone would have merited his glory. Our Lord then appeared to pass through the choir, accompanied by a multitude of angels, giving special testimonies of love to those who had communicated that day, and saying to them these sweet words, "I am with you unto the consummation of ages." He also gave a golden ring to some, in which a precious stone was set, saying, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." As the saint was surprised at this, she inquired of our Lord if those to whom he had given the ring as a mark of special love would have more merit than others. Our Lord replied, "I have done this because when they took their refection, They meditated on my goodness to my disciples, in eating and drinking with them before I ascended into heaven, and for each morsel that they took, saying, O most loving Jesus, may the virtue of thy divine love incorporate me entirely in thee, I have imparted a special brilliancy to the precious stones of their rings. When the antiphon, Elevatus Manibus, was chanted, our Lord rose up by his own divine power, accompanied by a troop of angels who attended him with the utmost vigilance and reverence, giving his benediction to the whole community, saying to them, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. By which she understood that our Lord had poured forth his grace so effectually into the hearts of those who had celebrated this festival with singular devotion, that whatever trouble might happen to them, he would still leave some of his peace in their souls, even as sparks of fire are hidden under ashes. Let us continue with the life and the revelations of St. Gertrude on the next table.